Welcome to the podcast, Brent and Dre Podcast. Today is February 26th, 2022. And this episode, oh, by the way, I have a joke I wrote. Let me see if I can pull this up. See if I, we'll test my delivery skills now that I'm second guessing myself. All right, so, you know, the big rage this week, the big fun is that Putin's, you know, going to blow up the world or whatever. I don't know anything about it. I saw like a 10-second clip that the wife made me see where the Putin's like, oh, I'm going to kill everybody or whatever. And I don't really pay much attention. I liked studying history after the fact, and so it doesn't help me any now. So I don't care about the news. Anyway, so I thought of this. If wars could get a country pregnant, America would be fucked. What do you think? Is that pretty good? I don't know what it means, but I laugh. I really like that. If wars could get a country pregnant, America would be fucked. Okay, today's topic is, and I get this everywhere I go. People ask me, Brandon, how do you get mugged? How can I be like you? I want to know your secret. Please, I'll do anything if you could just show me how to get mugged like you did. I mean, it's a big hot thing. Everybody's talking about it. And I thought about releasing this in a course, you know, charge like $29.95 monthly for, you know, my members only website. But anyway, I'm going to spill the beans now on how to get mugged. And if, you know, you've been struggling, you've been trying to get mugged and it's not been working, I'm going to show you how in six easy steps. I didn't actually count the steps, but we'll just say six. Three easy steps. That sounds like a better, the course is better if you do it in less steps. Okay, so here's the gist of it. This is back in October 2018, which I know is 3.5 years ago. It's old school, but it's still new to me. So I'm going to tell you. This is something interesting I feel worthy of talking about. Okay, so it was a Friday night, about 9 o'clock. And I pull into my driveway, and I park outside because we have a one-car garage because our house is pretty shitty. The wife gets the garage. And so I pulled up in the garage, and it was me and my son. My son was in kindergarten then. I think he was six, maybe. We'll say six. And so 9 o'clock, and we pulled up, and we both noticed, like, man, the house just looks dead. And the wife was gone, so nobody was home, so there was no lights on in the house. There was no lights on outside the house. It had this, like, Halloween eerie quality to it. Like, God, it's just dark out here. For some reason, the street lights weren't on, like, the way that I think they are. Like, I don't even know if I have street lights, but I couldn't even tell you, but for whatever reason, I was like, this is really dark and weird. So anyway, I get out, and I was in school then, and so I had done some homework at my mom's. We went to grandma's and hung out or whatever, and so I come back, and so I grab my book bag, and, you know, my kid is in kindergarten, so it takes him like 4 minutes to get out of his, you know, his seat. It's just what kids do. If you have kids, you know, and if you don't have kids, you're lucky, I guess. in that age. So anyway, it takes minutes to get out. So he's fucking around with the seatbelt and doing what he does. He probably found a little toy. And so I go out and check the mail, which is our mailbox is pretty close to where I park. So I walk to the edge of the street and I'm kind of dangling my book bag, doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo, spinning around, just fucking around, being dumb, waiting for Max, waiting for my son to get out. Well, a car's coming. I'm like, yeah, whatever. And so they stop. And it's a white SUV. It's like, I remember that. And they had modern light bulbs, you know, the LEDs that are the real high temperature, almost blue. I hate those things. Anyway, they had that. And a guy goes out and he goes, sir? He goes, sir, can you help? And I was actually walking away from the car at the time. And I turned around. He goes, sir, can you help me? And I'm like, huh, okay. And so when I turned, I had a 1911 gun in my face. And I didn't see the guy. And he goes, give me all your shit or you'll fucking die. Something, I don't remember the exact words, but you could imagine. Yeah, give me all your shit or you fucking die is close enough. And so he said, get down on the ground. And so he said to get down face down. And I remember I was being a dick a little bit. For some reason, I was powerless and defiant at the same time. And I just sat on my butt instead. But I would not make eye contact because I watched too much Sopranos. I remember that popping in my head. Like too many Goodfellas types. Like you get some whack job with a gun, you don't confront him then. Like he wants to be the top dog. He wants to be the alpha. He's running the show. And so if you look him dead in the eye and like let him know what a piece of shit he is just by like your eye contact, you are taking the power away. And I just, all he had to do was pull a little trigger. And I was like, for some reason, a self-preservation-y type thing gave in and said, all right, just don't look him in the eye. Unfortunately, I didn't look at him at all. So I have no idea what he looked like. Don't even know, you know, the color of his skin and all that stuff. He sounded like a thug, but what the fuck does that mean? I mean, yeah, M sounds like a thug too. I mean, I don't know. So I have no idea what color it was. I had nothing to say to the cops when I eventually called him. But and I remember when I got down on the ground, pulled my wallet out, and he goes, "Whoa, whoa, whoa!" And I started handing him the cash. He goes, "I want it all, I want it all." So he took my book bag because I knew I had like homework and shit in there, and so I was like kind of thinking like those terms. Even though, I mean, I knew full well I could just die right then. I mean, that definitely, like, popped in my head. And any situation where you're like, well, I might die right now, I think some people break and start bawling and shit. Other people just say, well, can't do anything about that, and you just ignore it. So, yeah, either way, you're either going to lie to yourself or you're going to cry. I chose to lie to myself, say, oh, well, if this is it, this is it. Well, the guy didn't shoot me. He grabbed my book bag. And he ran back in the car, and see, there was he had a getaway driver. So this all happened in, like, I would say 6 seconds. I mean, it was as quick as you could possibly be. Hey, give me all your shit. Get on the ground. Hey. Do-do-do-do-do. Off he went. I mean, it was really like that. But see, and this is where it gets so interesting. A guy sticks a gun in your face. I mean, your instinct is maybe, you know, like the Bourne Identity shit where you pop him in the wrist and knock the gun to one direction, and then you use like a... You shove your what do you call that? Like your palm into their nose, and then you maybe snap their neck. And you think about all these things, and all that's great and wonderful. And I think we all have these action movie dreams. But I have no training in fighting at all. I you know, I've listened to Rogan a bunch talk about it. I mean, what's a rear naked choke? Can I do one of those? Like, it's, so I don't have any background in this anyway. I mean, none. And so, but when you factor in the kid's still in the car. And I don't know if Max actually saw the gun. I don't know if Max saw the guy. Max might have still been like, doo-ba-doo-ba-doo, playing with the seatbelt. Because like I said, it was so quick. And I didn't want the guy to see Max because I didn't know what kind of guy this was. The kind of guy that'll stick a gun in your fucking face is the kind of guy that he's more likely to grab your kid than the mailman. You know, like the UPS guy is probably not, you know, whatever. So we're dealing with a criminal element here, and you don't know how far that criminal element extends. It could be just petty crime mugging, or it could be much, much worse. And so, far enough, the guy was off. And so, what was their big score? When they pulled away, well, I had about $35 in my wallet. I had a bunch of credit cards, which I canceled immediately. I had a set of underwear with holes in it, like used white boy, whitey-tidy underwear. And... I kept spare underwear in my book bag because I rode my bike to school. And I found that on days when it's pouring rain, and I rode my bike in the rain many times. This is just what I did because I refused to buy the parking sticker at school because it was $1 million. But of course, I thought it was, I got confused on the price. I actually thought the price was double. I thought we had to buy a new sticker every semester. They lasted a year. So anyway, not to get too far off topic, but yeah, so I had a set of underwear that had a good reason, because if I changed into dry underwear, then my day was much better. And I had this North Face backpack, which sounds like a nice backpack, but I got it for like $30 on eBay. It had holes in it. It was a used piece of shit. So inside, I had 3 quantum mechanics books, textbooks from school. And I had an engineering calculator. Here's the big one. I have 3 of my super high-end engineering pencils. These are the Pentel Twist Erase. If you're in engineering school, highly recommended. Save you hours of anguish, wrist pain. So anyway, like losing those 3 pencils, by the way, was traumatic. I had a week of just using regular shit pencils, and I mean, my wrist was just, carpal tunnel was fucking killing me. So that was probably the biggest loss was a few pencils. So anyway, their score was shit. They got nothing on it. They committed a fucking felony and got $35. And they ended up, they did buy some pizzas with one of my credit cards that went through. They bought like $85 for the pizzas. So they must have had one of them like Dr. Dre style parties. That's how I imagine it, where they dump, like, was it, which one is it? Nothing But a G thing, where they dump all the champagne all over, shoot the girl with the dress on, the little snooty one, shoot her with all the liquor. I guess it was champagne. It kind of like one of those parties, I guess. I don't know. It had some big party. Maybe it was just a weed. Probably not a weed. I don't think weed people mug, do they? I don't have to look into that. Anyway, I don't think that the personality type is the same. Maybe it is. And so... they got like $85 of pizza, and then they tried buying about $1,000 worth of an iPhone online, and that payment got rejected. So they basically got nothing. They committed a felony to get some pizza. Like, not a good way to go to pound me in the ass prison, if, you know, like not worth it. But, you know, whatever. So immediately after, you know, I'm fucking shell shocked. Like, yeah, my adrenaline is at 10. So I immediately had Max go in the house. And of course, he's probably afraid of the dark in the house, probably traumatized him too. And then the wife pulled up right then and I said, hey, I just got mugged. And she goes, haha, because I kind of say stuff like that because I'm an idiot. I say a lot of stupid stuff, as you probably noticed. And she thought I was kidding. And then the cops pull up and she goes, oh boy. She didn't know what to say. So I talked to the cops and it was interesting. It really was, I felt like a piece of shit because they're like, well, can you describe the guy? And I'm like, well, I didn't see shit. I kept my head down. And I felt like I let the cops down. Like the cops wanted to bust this criminal and I could give them nothing. I was zero help. And I put my head down and I took it. And does that make you tough or does it make you a pussy? I don't know. But I felt like an idiot because I couldn't say anything. I should have said, oh, yeah, he had a scar on his chin. He had a tattoo that said fuck face on his forehead. And like, oh, yeah, we know him. And we're going to get him right now. Now, that's what I wanted to happen. But it was just, I had nothing to contribute. They're in a white SUV. You know how many fucking white SUVs there are? Especially after you start looking for them. They're everywhere. There's 15 on this block right now. So that was worthless. So, you know, give it a couple of days. And I guess that was a Friday night. Monday, I was running at the gym. And the criminal I did see was wearing a hoodie. For some reason, I don't remember his face. I didn't see the color of his skin. I guess I didn't see anything, but I remember he had a hoodie on. I don't know how it's in my head. I mean, you know how memories are. I mean, maybe it's a fucking a gorilla or a mailbox that mugged me. I could have been anything. Robot. But I was running at the gym, and this dude blasted by me in a hoodie. And my immediate instinct was, should I stab this motherfucker? That's him. That's him. He's trying to kill me. And I was trying to think of what weapons I could, because I was running. I got like a phone. I'm going to beat him to death with my phone. Like my little shoelace, you know, like little tips. You could stab in the eye with that. Like I started thinking, this is the guy. And then a part of me was like, Brandon, just chill the fuck out, dude. Don't worry about it. And this guy was running way faster than me. So I would have had trouble catching him. But I remember thinking, I should kill this motherfucker. He's bad news. And then I remember saying to myself, dude, you got a real problem. You're going to have to work this out. You've got some trauma shit going on. And I did. And so there, I remember being at home a few days after that. And I looked out my window, looking at my car. Because this all happened in my driveway. I probably should have been more clear here. It just happened. Maybe I said that. But it happened right where I park every day. And so there was no hiding from it. There was no like, oh, I'm not going to that place anymore. Like, no, I got to revisit that place every time I drive. So I'm looking out my window from my house, looking at my car. And you know, it kind of occurred to me that it could have been a lot worse, and I actually got quite lucky. Because what if the dude would have said, hey, suck my dick, or I'll kill you? And I would have been like, Like, and I think in that situation by myself, I'd probably just get killed. Fuck you, I'm not going to do that. It's just one of those principle things, like you're not, no. But I say that, I don't know. But even worse, what if he says, hey, suck my dick, I'm going to make your kid watch. Your six-year-old kid right there, your kindergarten, he's going to watch. And I'm like, well, that's a trauma thing we'd be working out our whole lives. And I'd be like, well, I'm not doing that. So then what if he shoots my kid? I mean, like, the having your son there is a real, real tricky one. Yeah, I could let him shove his cock in my mouth and I bite it off. You don't hear that every day in a podcast. I'll say that again. He could shove his cock in my mouth and I bite it off. But then he's got that gun. He could shoot me and then shoot my kid. And then he bleeds to death. I mean, like, nothing good comes from any of this. But the only reason that situation didn't happen was because that criminal guy decided not to. All he wanted was my book bag, my underwear, my engineering calculator. And so I was at his mercy 100%. And being this thought of being completely powerless, whether I live or die, or, you know, my son is in therapy the rest of his life, all that was completely dependent on the whims of a criminal. And so that really scared the shit out of me. It fucked me up. I had some real trouble. And I didn't know what to do about it at all. And, you know, this is actually right around Me Too time, give or take. Maybe Me Too was a year or two before that. I don't know. But I don't know what the girls go through if they, you know, they get raped and stuff. Well, I've heard what the mechanics are, but I don't know how it feels, but for some reason I felt like I got a little glimpse of that, you know, again, a glimpse, I don't understand it, but it was fucking horrifying. And basically anybody who wants to break the rules can take whatever it is they want from you. And they're just hoping they don't get caught or that you're not ready for it. And so here's the thing. I remember having big discussions with some of my buddies. Like, I don't know if I believed in evil for a long time. Evil's not real. It's just crazies. Maybe it's just the issue of semantics, but because if you break the law, I just thought if you're breaking the law, you're basically fucking crazy because it's illogical to do it. You're going to go to prison. Cops are too good these days. Haven't you seen Matlock? Matlock plus DNA, forget about it, right? Well, maybe. But here's where I'm at now with this. They were driving a very nice SUV, much nicer than what I have. My car, you know, 97 Honda Civic at the time, 20 plus years old, and still 20 plus years old, ironically. Is that ironic? Is that Alanis Morissette? I don't. Anyway, so is there evil in the world? And after all this, I said yes. And people would say, well, is it evil or is it just poverty? Did poverty buy their $50,000 SUV? Or does buying a $50,000 SUV cause you to be poverty-dized, cause you to live in poverty? These are good questions. How do you manage your money? How do you end up in this shithole in the end? And here's my take on it. Poverty is a state of not having any fucking money. And I've been pretty broke. We lived on powdered milk, and we roughed it when I was little. Several different phases of life, actually, not just one. We had friends that spent the night, and then there wasn't enough food, and so they called their parents, and their parents would pick them up and say, well, so much for them to spend the night, because we didn't have enough to eat. Now, maybe this person was a little rotten and used to having good food and wasn't used to eating, like, a pork chop with salt on it or whatever. I mean, we didn't starve, but it was times were tough. Let's just say that. And you call that, you know, some dude in Jamaica is like, what do you know about tough, man? Like, probably nothing. I don't know. Like, whatever. But relatively speaking, times were tougher then. So poverty is a state of not having any money. Crime / evil. One example is taking shit from other people you didn't fucking earn. And we have two words here because they have different meanings. Poverty doesn't equal evil. Evil doesn't equal poverty. And so this is actually a little side tangent. Postmodernists, you know, they believe words don't mean anything. It's all about power, or words can be whatever you want. And so, like, here's the problem. The day that poverty is equal to evil is the day that the righteous should kill all the poor. If being poor makes you evil, then we should get rid of you, right? But see, that would be evil in itself. Going out and killing poor is fucking wrong, obviously. I mean, definitely not advocating it. Don't do it. Don't kill anybody if you can help it. So that would be evil in itself to go out and kill the poor. And so that pretty much shuts down the postmodernist argument, unless they're evil. Anyway, so these words matter. We have two different words. So it's not just being poverty leads to crime. Like, I hear that all the time. Why? Why does being raised broke cause you to steal or put a gun in someone's face and fuck it, scare the shit out of a kindergartner? Think about that. There's no reason. It's an individual decision that you make to engage in that bullshit. And I hear it all the time on Rogan that, like, well, if you're raised in Baltimore, you know what? Maybe you're right. But I live in Missouri, and I'm like the quote unquote ghetto here in Cape, which I'm sure it's, you know, it's not, I don't want to live there, but it's like a mile from here, and the edges of it are like a half a mile from here. We're close. I mean, I'm living a shithole too, but, you know, it's a shithole. We have our own little culture here where no one has any real money in my little area, but, you know, you mow your yard, you pick up your trash, and, you know, yada, yada, yada. There's expected norms and expected things. And, I don't understand how crime could be part of your culture. I don't get it. And maybe that's my white privilege, or, you know, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. But an individual decided to fucking stick a gun in my face, and he can go fuck himself. I mean, that's, but it's him. Like, it's not his upbringing. You insult his intelligence if you say he wasn't acting with autonomy. Does he not know that's wrong? So I don't know. So anyway, and here's another one. All right, so to carry a gun or not to carry a gun. And I pondered this, and I actually have the conceal and carry license thing. My stepdad wanted it all, the whole family to do it, you know, 10 or 15 years ago. And so we did, and I've, like, never actually used it. I don't do the conceal and carry just because I'm clumsy. I drop shit all the time. And so I don't want the responsibility of drop a gun and shoot some pregnant woman. It's like, well, how about I just don't carry that thing? And maybe I can work around it, but it's just a lot of effort, and I don't bother. And for me, I think it's safer for me not to have the gun out. I mean, I go out and shoot sometimes, but I'm just not going to carry it in my belt like that. So anyway, a lot of people around here in Missouri, you know, we're a right-wing place. At least we're very pro-gun in this area. It's basically the country. And so we're used to shooting guns. Most people own guns around here. It's not a big deal. In fact, it's kind of weird if you don't, a little bit, I guess. And so I know not many people understand that, but it's just a tool. And it'd be like not having knives in your kitchen. That's kind of how we view, you know, guns. It's just a tool we use to go shoot bottles and stuff. I don't know, minus military, I don't think I know anyone who's ever shot another person, you know, or even tried to. So so anyway, around here, people are like, why don't you pull your gun out and shoot him? And it's like, well, and this is an interesting one. Like, the people that asked me that, like, I don't think a Navy SEAL would have asked me that, because they have these people that asked me this have no idea, like, of battle. And not that I do either, but in this one instance, I guess I know this, that, like I said, the whole thing transpired in 6 seconds. I had about a quarter of a second to while a guy's already got a gun drawn on me, for me to pull out my gun, make sure it's loaded, the safety's off, and shoot him in the face accurately. What if I just miss? Well, fuck, I'm dead. So that would have escalated the situation a billion, assuming I didn't get the gun stuck on the holster, or, you know, the bullet wasn't jammed, or a thousand things that all happened. In my situation, I have no doubt if I would have had a gun, I mean, if I had the gun loaded in my hand, it was reliable and all that stuff, then a guy runs up to me and says, give me all your money. Well, yeah, bam. But you just don't have that. And it's like, okay, right now you're listening to this podcast, doing whatever, you're mowing your yard or jerking off or whatever. And then, don't know why I threw that in there. But yeah, so you're jacking off and then suddenly, give me all your money. Like, can you, in a half a second, have a round in that dude's face? Probably not. No one's that fast. So caught me by surprise. I got ambushed. And it's as simple as that. So, yeah, the Republican types don't want to hear that. Like, around here, I said, look, I did not, even if I would have had my gun on me, like, the odds of me being able to pull it out that quickly, it wasn't in the cards. And I'm not defending some lefty anti-gun proposition here. I'm just saying, tactically, that would have been a stupid fucking move. I didn't have the time. Now, you could have argued, oh, the second you saw a car drive by you should have pulled your... No, he fucking ambushed me. So I've kind of been surprised by a lot of the right-wing types that they want to act like I'm a dipshit because I made a tactical decision. I'm like, I was there. No, you could have shot. I'm like, you don't... Yeah, so anyway, no, it's no wonder the lefties, you know, think the right's so dumb. Maybe they are some of the time. So let's go the other way. And so, should guns be banned? You know, some would say, like, well, Brandon, we could have solved this problem if we just banned the guns. And, I I'm from Missouri, so we have a different take on it. You know, guns are effective tools. They shoot out a little chunk of metal, or sometimes lots of chunks of metal. They are a good tool for mugging, I'll give you that. I prefer to use them for just shooting bottles and shit. And I know a lot. I love eating deer meat. Some of the family, you know, around extended family around here likes to shoot. So guns are good tools for those things. But so yeah, they're good for mugging. But so is a sharp knife, and actually so is a screwdriver. Now, let's just say we're bad guys, and if we want to mug someone with a screwdriver, probably what you want to do is stab them once with the screwdriver, and just to get their attention and make sure, you know, you're fucking serious, and then say, give me all your money. And that way, otherwise you hold a screwdriver, most people are going to be like, fuck you, then get stabbed once. Like, okay, I changed my mind, you can have my money, get out of here, don't stab me anymore. And so I guess in that sense, a gun's kind of like a nuclear deterrent. It's such a big, powerful tool that you don't have to actually shoot the person once to get their attention. The gun itself will make a person give up their shit. So either way, it's the United States. Guns aren't going away. It's part of the culture. If you don't understand the culture, that's fine. But just it is part of the culture. It's not going away. So the banned gun argument, I don't think would help. And so again, you can always have new tools. And see, I'm a bad guy to ask about this because even if we banned all the guns, I'm an engineer. You know what we could invent? And I don't really have any interest in making weapons. But do you know what we could invent? It's actually worse. So yeah, don't tempt people. Even it's just, I don't know. Maybe it's part of my Missouri culture. You don't like it, that's fine. We can talk about it, but whatever. So here's the deal. So I was having some real issues with the trauma stuff. Like, I would say about a month in, I was really struggling. What if that guy would have said, suck my dick? What would I have done? And I didn't have a good answer. And to this day, I don't have a great answer for that particular question. I would have been completely powerless. And I was reading Jocko Willink's Extreme Ownership book. One of the greatest books ever written, in my opinion. Changed my life. And it turned out it's ideas that got me out of this problem. Philosophy. Ways of approaching life. And the name of the book is Extreme Ownership. And it's basically you accept total responsibility for basically any situation you're in. And, you know, you can exclude acts of God. You know, so we'll say 99% of all situations. You get cancer, probably wasn't your fault. But you know, you get the idea. So it goes like this. Here's a good example I like to always think of. So let's say we're driving in our car and we pull up to a four-way stop. And you go ahead and stop. We stop. You're riding with me. And then there's another car coming to the four-way too. It's my turn to go. Do we just go ahead and assume they're going to stop and we go ahead and go? Even though if they don't stop, they're going to crush us. Here's the thing. We assume they're not going to stop. That's taking extreme ownership. Because this car's going 35 miles an hour. You're pulling in their way. If they're looking at their phone, they kill you. So what do? You wait another second and a half to be sure they're slowing down and they're actually going to stop before you take your turn. If that car hits you, it's your fault. Or if I'm driving, it's my fault because I let that car hit me. I hope I've explained that pretty well. I don't know if I have or not. But basically, if there's a preventable car accident and you're in it, you should have prevented it. You should have had your head on a swivel and you should have done what it took to survive. If there was a drunk driver swerving, you either need to get way back or need to find a way around them. Either way, you it's on you. It's your fault. It's your responsibility. And again, ignore the acts of God. But when you live your life this way, suddenly that childish thing, we're like, well, if they wouldn't have been driving so stupid, if they wouldn't have been on their cell phone, then my car would have got smashed. It's like, well, your car got smashed because you put yourself in front of an idiot. That guy's an idiot. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, yes, that person did a greater evil than you did. Tough shit. If you don't want your car smashed in, then don't pull out in front of people that aren't paying attention. I mean, you gotta be careful. The problem with that is extreme ownership is it can make you a hair paranoid. But it basically makes you also a hair ready. Not even a hair ready, completely ready for things. And this is where the game gets really interesting. So if you get mugged, here's how extreme ownership goes. Feel free to argue with this, and you might. If you get mugged, it's your fault. I'm going to repeat that. I know because I've been mugged. I've been mugged, and it was my fault. Ouch, right? Holy shit, I did this to myself? I'm the piece of shit. I'm the bad guy. Well, kinda. Yeah, kinda. But you're not the bad. Okay, you're not the bad guy. But you fucked up. And so you got an F on this particular test. The test is just one question: did you get mugged? And if the answer is yes, then you fail, because nobody wants to get mugged. You let a bad thing happen to you, and that's it. You let it happen. And so you, after the ouch thing settles in, 2 seconds later, after you go, it's like, what about Bob? He goes, ow, ow. I can't even remember why he's going ow. Oh, because it doesn't matter. You just watch What About Bob and you'll see ow and it all makes sense to you. How about that? After about 2 seconds, something magical happens. You start to think about all the things you did wrong. And that means you start thinking about the things you need to do right. In other words, instead of focusing on, holy shit, I'm a victim, victim, victim. You know, that poisonous bullshit. A victim's a choice. Don't be one. But you start to think, well, what did I do wrong? In my case, well, why did I have that house completely dark? I mean, no outside lights, no inside lights, no motion lights, no little cameras. Why was I dangling my bag around at 9 o'clock at night? Total darkness. Was I trying to bait a criminal? Like, and what if they're thinking, the criminal's like, what if there's a MacBook in there, or, you know, $1 million, or, you know, why was I dicking around at all outside? Why didn't I just go straight to the house? And so I could have waited in my car with my son, wait until he messes around with his seatbelt, and we could have walked out together quickly and go straight to the house. We should acknowledge, hey, we live in an area that's not super duper, it's not even well lit. So that tells you everything you need to know. We should have discussed, like, is this a safe area? Yeah, let's go and get in the house. We don't have to be like afraid and paranoid, like a freak it. Like, don't take it too damn far. Just get in the house. Don't be fucking around outside in the dark. And so another, and I saw a car driving towards me. Again, this pitch black area, freakishly black area, so the car's coming by. I could assume it's grandma and she's going to keep on going, which is what I did. And if I would have assumed that car, maybe there's a chance there's a criminal. Maybe I just wait 10 seconds for that car to drive by. And when they're gone, I get out. Like, maybe I don't get out of my car when there's other car coming right by in the dark. Again, all these things add up. I could have just changed my behavior a little bit. Again, I don't have to be a paranoid disaster. I don't have to quit driving or quit breathing or, I mean, all these things. But just change basic stuff. And so what I found by asking myself these questions was, well, 2 minutes later, I had motion lights ordered from Amazon. I went ahead and took care of that immediately. And then when you get up and you hang up the motion lights, and then when your driveway's lit up, and so now the criminal has to decide if they want to mug you with a light in their face. And again, will anybody see them? I don't know. But these are all things that improve your chances of not having to go through traumatic experience. So just avoiding those dark alleys is a good way to avoid some of this shit. And so what I realized was, yeah, that this extreme ownership stuff really does work. The philosophy is bang on. Fuck being a victim, figure out what you did wrong, and fix it. And that's what I did, and I felt a lot better about it ever since. And so I highly recommend take full responsibility. So that pretty much explains how to get mugged. If you want to get mugged, then wave something that looks like it might be really valuable to a thug in their face. Make sure it's in an area that's very, very dark. And while you're there, take a kid with you to make sure they might have to see it. And that way you can't do anything defensive. And if you make it as easy as possible for criminals, maybe they'll eventually follow you. That's my advice. If you want to get mugged, make it as easy as possible for criminals. And we'll call that a day. All right, that was the Brandon Drury Podcast. Fuck you, I'm leaving.